One thing I know that he uses, I don't know what they're called, but they're these gonna take, tie one end of the wires to it with the tape, and just run it from underneath the hood through the firewall to wherever you need it to go. Another thing he does is he also, now, be careful with this because we've done it with my truck. Nothing happens, but if you want to be able to hide the wire some to make it look more presentable, you can pop the top part of your dash, and you can also pop the parts around where your stereo is and your air vents, and you can tuck the wires underneath there along, and you can also do that with coax, and you can get it hidden to wherever the radio is going to be, the best you can, and that way there's not, you know, so much wire hanging out for people to see.
I'm probably going to bring it up, if you remember where the radio was, there's a pocket behind the radio, and so I thought I might just cut a little hole in the back end of that pocket and install one of those plugs. I don't know what it's called, but it seems like most of the radios have the same kind of clip power on it, you know, a clippable power plug there.
All right, yeah, that's a good idea. That's a very good idea. Gonna hit anything important.
Didn't fall out and get tangled up in my brake foot.
Definitely. That wouldn't go somewhere on the road. Yeah.
Yes.
I just tried some of your hot sauce on my food today. And I really got to taste it this time. I'm just gonna say that's not something you use a whole lot of, because that stuff is fire.
What?
So I actually tried some of your hot sauce on my food today.
What'd you think about it?
But it's not a hot sauce I'm gonna use a whole lot of at one time. I think I'll have some stomach cramps after I did that.
Oh my, how much did you use?
A whole lot. I put a couple of drops on some of my vegetables, and I could tell, like, it instantly started getting hot. Like, I love that, but I have to be careful because I use a lot of hot sauces on my food. I mainly use Tabasco sauce, but I use some of yours, and it outweighs Tabasco sauce probably by a couple of thousand degrees.
Oh, man. I told you it was hot. I use it by the drop. The good news is, unlike Tabasco sauce, I remove all of the pith, which is the connective white tissue inside the pepper, and all the seeds. So none of that pith or seeds go into my hot sauce. So it should be a little more gentle on your digestive tract.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I did not know that. I appreciate it.
So so I have a scale that I use for my hot sauces because, as you know, they're a little hotter than what, you know, most people are used to. So I have my own scale. And so that particular one you have there is a 3. And I also have a recipe that's popular for a 7. And so that sauce is called number 7, and that's because it's a heat level 7. And, man, that stuff right there, holy smokes.
Uh-oh.
In the moment, that my friend that's down here that we were talking to or trying to communicate with the other day that just got his ham license, he likes that number 7, and he eats hard-boiled eggs for breakfast every morning, and he tells me he puts, like, one drop per egg, right, and he only eats one egg every morning, and it's the perfect.
It's always perfect. If it can do the trick in one drop, you got the perfect recipe.
That stuff, man, I can't do it. That one drop on a hard-boiled egg to me is just a little bit too hot. I use it for cooking. So I'll add it to beans or stews or, you know, vegetables, stuff like that, you know, and cook them up in it. And still, it takes very little.
So can you taste it when you have it cooked? Perfect right there. Definitely try that too.
Well, I tell you that my garden this year with all the pepper plants didn't do so good. We had some issues there, and the well that supplies the water basically has been off all season, and I didn't even realize it. And so none of the plants I have out there really grew into anything. So I've only got 7 plants here at the house, so I'm hoping to get a pretty good yield off of them so I can actually make some stuff this year. Otherwise, I'm going to have to find somewhere to buy these pods from.
I understand that. I'm trying to think. I think it's called Beechwood Farms. It's a place up in Marietta. I don't know if they have anything, if they're doing any sales right now, but if I can find out exactly what it is and where it's located, I know it's in Marietta, I will let you know. And if they're doing any type of sales with any peppers and stuff, I'll give you a holler.
Yeah, definitely let me know, but I have a backup plan. I don't ever not have a backup plan. Actually, this is the tertiary, the third backup plan. So I've got another friend that has a rather large farm, and he grows Carolina Reapers and usually has more than I would need, you know, surplus. So I'm thinking about giving him a buzz and letting him know I'd probably take a bushel or so.
That's good. I'm glad you got somebody. Hey, Doug, one thing I want to let you know, I'm the type of person that, you know, I always like to be a giving heart and help, and I don't want you to ever think that you don't have to accept anything from me or anything like that. It's just part of who I am and how I like to be. So don't ever feel embarrassed to, you know, receive a little help from me if you want it. It's just, you know, me trying to show you that I'm trying to be a genuine person and a good friend, not just somebody you talk to on the radio.
Love you, boys. You're excited to help. That's a wonderful and lovely thing. Don't ever lose that. You know, it's beautiful. And I appreciate you. I just wanted to make sure, I definitely am interested, you know, but I do have a backup plan that I think is going to be pretty solid here. And this may be for the better anyway, because it may, you know, kind of help develop the relationship that I might would need from a farmer in order to grow the business anyway. So it's probably for the better.
I don't know how many times I've thought about starting my own business. I don't have enough money to do it. I'm poor. But I definitely would see the need for relationships and partnerships with people because, you know, running a business, I've never done it. And I don't know anything about it. But I know it has to be extremely challenging, especially in today's economy. And, you know, it's not hard to tell that just by observation that something is challenging. I mean, you can look at the numbers, and numbers don't lie. I mean, I learned this in high school senior year that 9 times out of 10 businesses after the first 5 years, a lot of them fail. That's just what my teacher taught us. Doesn't necessarily mean that every business is going to fail, but 9 out of 10, a lot of them fail after 5 years.
Ebbs and flows out there, and become, you know, sometimes you'll be having so much business that you don't know what to do with it, and then other times there's nothing, you know. So I think that's what really distinguishes the business between a long-term kind of plan and a short-term plan, is when you're able to plan for those ebbs and flows in the industry or whatever industry that you're in, so that you can survive the lean times, you know.
Yeah, right. That is just, you know, putting money back from sales and profits, stuff like that. I didn't think about it that way. Of course, I don't really think a whole lot about stuff like that. I just go out and, I mean, it's part of me being younger
KQ4QHV for ID. My wife and I are about to head out on a bicycle ride, and I'll probably be on for the check-in tonight. If you'll be around, I'll check in with you.
Final, 73, Nick.
Copy tonight. 73 is you too, Chandler. KQ4QHV, clear.